The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father in heaven who is secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, where thieves break out and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where there is neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. While Advent is my hands-down favorite church liturgical season, I find that the older I get, the more I cannot wait for Lent to start once the Christmas hubbub is over. And while I enjoy the party and the pancakes of Mardi Gras, I yearn for the quiet of the church that begins for me generally at 6 a.m. on Ash Wednesday. I look forward to the services that will continue throughout the day, but most within that is the invitation to a holy Lent that we will hear shortly, inviting you and I to examine our relationship with God through self-examination, repentance, prayer, fasting, self-denial, reading and meditating on Scripture, and we are called to make a right beginning of repentance. I think that part of me yearns for Lent after the holiday season, especially when it's this close, because I see it as a clean start, an opportunity to get back on the right track. Lent isn't just about chocolate or alcohol or giving those up or practicing random acts of mercy. Rather, Lent is rather to get back on the right track about where I should be focused in my life. To get back on the right track of putting God first and foremost and everything else secondary. Get back to the prayer life that I always dream that I'm going to have someday. You know how some people have dream bodies, or they have their dream car, or maybe their dream job? I have the dream prayer life, and it's awesome. And yet, it's always just beyond my reach. It's always one more discipline I think I must engage before I attain it. And so as I think about what Lent is supposed to be and all of these possibilities, I realize that sometimes I hope that Lent will be what my favorite poster says, shh, slow down, quiet, it's Lent. And that makes me think, what if observing Lent isn't about abstinence from food or drink or the mega prayer workout? What if Lent wasn't about elaborate ideas of how we think we can make ourselves better? What if Lent was about self-examination, repentance, prayer, fasting, self-denial, not to make ourselves better, but rather to make ourselves whole? If you look at our reading from Joel today, it starts with darkness, gloom, and blackness. There is this alarm to repent and pay attention. It is an alarm that is not to be taken lightly. And yet, in the midst of this alarm, in the midst of this call to repentance, is this very important reminder. Reminder of exactly who this God is who we are in relationship with. And it says that God is gracious. It says that God is merciful. It says that God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and that God relents from punishing. This is the God, even in the Old Testament prophet calling us to repent, this is the God we are called to be in relationship with. This is the God we are called to emulate. But rather than thinking, I would say that rather than thinking of new ways in which we can push ourselves, or maybe I could even say ways in which we try to punish ourselves for our indulgence during these 40 days, what if we instead observed the 40 days of Lent in a way in which we tried to emulate the God with whom we yearn to be in relationship? I think that our Lenten observances often come from a place of shame. Shame about where we've failed, shame about where we haven't done enough, shame about where we've come up short. Shame, and for that matter, her sister comparison that we get into. How does my life shore up to the person next to me? How does my Lenten observance compare to the person in the other pew? And shame and comparison are not where God is calling us to live. Shame should not be the reason that we turn to strengthen our relationship with God. And so that makes me think, imagine, if you will, for a moment, that Lent instead started from a place of joy, started from a place of self-compassion, started from a place of empathy. And to think of these positive attributes in the midst of the dark and gloom of Lent is not as counterintuitive as it may seem, as these are the exact characteristics that God sees in us. And this is what I mean by making ourselves not better, but by making ourselves whole. Can we see ourselves wholly? Can we see ourselves as graciously and as merciful and as lovingly as God sees us? It makes me wonder, what if we tried to beat ourselves up less during Lent? And to that end, I saw a discipline for Lent on giving up 40 things that prevent us from being whole, holy who God created us. And if you want to see it, it's on my Facebook page. And if you don't do that, come find me and I'll give it to you. And while the author's choices, some of them may seem curious for me, I think that they encapsulate what God may actually intend for us for Lent. These 40 things to give up, I think, are an amazing and powerful start. For example, what would it look like for us in self-examination if we gave up blame? What if we repented of our overcommitment and our busyness? What if we prayed for peace and justice rather than righteousness? What if we fasted from entitlement and blaming? What if we denied ourselves distractions, electronic or otherwise, from what keeps us from being in deeper relationship with one another, and distractions that more importantly keep us from being in relationship with God? I believe that following these 40 things to give up, one a day, would be far more challenging than giving up any food or exercise or taking on additional reading or an extra few hours of prayer. So wherever you find yourself this Lent, if you find yourself like me, chomping at the bit and ready to get started, if you find yourself disconnected from the idea and you don't know where to begin, if you find yourself open and listening, curious to where God is calling you, wherever you may be, I invite you to observe Lent in whatever way makes you whole. Amen.